I like the concept that Paul is talking about here in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and that is the concept that we are pilgrims. We're on a journey, all of us. And there's no exceptions. We're all on a journey in or out of this faith. We're on that journey from birth to death. Everyone is on a journey, going somewhere. Things don't ever remain the same. And Paul here, he enumerates some of the great faith heroes, and he names them by name, as you have heard Marcus read. And he says about those heroes this one thing: they were pilgrims. They were pilgrims on earth. And I like that and love that concept that we're pilgrims on our way. We've been called out by the voice of Christ, and we're on our way. We're not sure where that is all the time, but we're on this journey, and we're moving forward. You know, this week, how many of you watched Venus pass between Earth and the sun? That little speck just making its way across the face of the sun. You know something? It's the cosmos has always intrigued me. Our whole cosmos is on a journey. Did you know that? Right now, in this building, ladies and gentlemen, we're on a planet Earth that is spinning around and around and around at 1,000 miles per hour. That's enough to give you vertigo, isn't it? But it doesn't end there. While it's spinning around like that, it's also rotating around our sun at 66,000 miles per hour. Man, we're on the move, aren't we? It takes us 365 days to get around the sun, all the seasons that go with us. But wait, that's not all. Our whole cosmos, our Milky Way, and millions of other galaxies out there in space. From the original word where God spoke the earth and the stars and the cosmos into existence, from that point of creation, we are being hurtled into outer space at 43,000 miles per hour. This is a pilgrim cosmos that we live in. And the day that Jesus Christ says in our hearts here, "Follow me," when we begin that journey, it is a sacred journey that we undertake at that point in our lives. Now, Paul talks about what does it mean to be a pilgrim? What is a pilgrim's mindset? Well, first of all, he's very careful to define faith. And you've heard this many times, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, if you really break that down, here's what that means. Faith in Jesus Christ. He is our substance. He is our reality. Faith in Him gives us hope and helps us to see the invisible things that we can't see with the natural eye. So Paul's very careful in talking about what faith is. It's faith in Jesus Christ. He is our reality. He is our substance. Ellen Wheeler Wilcox wrote these words: "One ship drives east and another ship drives west. Self same winds that blow." And if you know something about sailing, "'tis the set of the sails and not the gales that determines the way that we go." And what is our set of the sails? That's Jesus Christ. He is the substance. No matter how the wind's blowing, we can set that sail on this journey and make this pilgrimage with our lives related to Jesus Christ and moving on as a pilgrim. And then Paul makes it very clear that this is not going to be an easy road all the time. You're going to have more profound, deep meaning in life being on this journey with Christ. Now, life has a purpose and a direction, and there's great joy in that and a great sense of knowing who you are before God. But I have to tell you, as you know, this is not always an easy road. It's a hard road sometimes. There are zigzags and there are blocks and there are dark valleys. It's not always easy. And Paul says, just be aware that it's not going to all the time be easy, because then he enumerates his own reference points of here, those faith heroes. He said they were thrown in prisons. They were forsaken. They were beaten. And one was sawed in half. And on the litany goes. It's not always going to be easy. But the rewards in this life and beyond this life, they are the greatest sense of meaning and purpose and happiness that a person can have as a pilgrim on this earth. And we don't need to know all the details. Abraham went out not knowing where he was going. I love that. That is, God said, there's a promised land out there, and I'm going to make of you a great nation, and there is some land I'm going to give you. But Abraham didn't even know where that land was. He simply got ready, loaded up, went to the next crossroads, and only there, as he needed to know, did God say, okay, I want you to turn left here instead of right. And history hinges on those kind of decisions. He didn't know where he was going. And some of us here this morning, we have a sense of what God's calling us to, but you don't know all the details. You don't know what's going to happen. That's why we travel by faith. God knows, and he will be with us as we face those things. 50 years ago, when Ann and I decided to obey the call of Christ and go into the ministry, we did not know that we were going to go to a little village by the name of Lafayette. We only knew that God had called us, and in a real sense, we went out not knowing where we were going to go. And here we were with that little church, and we had four of the most beautiful years of our lives there with those people. I did not know that I was going to go to Ohio Northern University and graduate. No one in my family had done that. All I was doing was trying to follow the will of God, how imperfectly at times that might have been. I didn't know that I was going to go to Boston University and graduate there and go on to get a graduate degree. None of that was on the landscape when God said, follow me, Grant. I did not know I was going to go to a little church in New Hampshire called Dairy Village, a congregational church. It was a fun place to be, a wonderful experience. And I did not know that one day we would come back to a little community just outside of Toledo called Rossford, Ohio, and spend 5 years there. I did not know that then I'd go to Portsmouth and spend 4 years there. And I did not know, ladies and gentlemen, that I would spend 12 years in this place, Ross Community United Methodist Church. I didn't know that. All I was determined to do was to follow God. He said, you're going to be a minister. That's your calling. That's your goal. That's your direction. But I didn't know all the details. And I have to tell you, these have been wonderful 12 years for me, and I hope for you. It's been a great journey. And I can never forget some of these things that we have experienced here in this church. But remember, we don't know what tomorrow will be, except God's going to be there. And in the meantime, we walk with faith. And we indeed are imperfect pilgrims. I don't need to remind this church family that we're imperfect pilgrims. And like Paul, we don't ever count ourselves as having arrived at that plateau where we're at a stage of perfection. It isn't going to happen. But this much is for sure, we are climbing Jacob's ladder, one rung at a time. We might drop back two rungs, but we get up and we're still climbing, we're still growing, we're still becoming like a pilgrim is supposed to do. It's not a matter of moving geographically from place to place, because you are on a journey internally and spiritually in your heart and your mind and in your soul. You're on a journey. And I have to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I know that I'm not the same person that I was 50 years ago when I began this journey. I'm not the same person that my wife married, what was it, 67 years ago, sweetheart? And she says, thank God that you're not the same person. But I feel like the old colored man who said, I ain't what I ought to be, I ain't what I'm going to be, but thank God I ain't who I used to be. That's Grant Montgomery. Pilgrims, we are traveling. We are not perfect. But God still loves us, and we get on, and we learn, and we go to the next stage. We go through the up, we move up a notch. We learn as we go. Paul said, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I behaved like a child, I prayed like a child. Remember the childhood of your faith. When I look at the childhood of my faith, when I think about how dumb and stupid and ignorant I was back there in the childhood of my faith, it's almost embarrassing to think about it. But thank God it didn't stay there, and you're not staying there. You're moving on, and you're moving up, and you're moving to new stages. And then Paul said, there's this invisible hand that is with us and helps us to move us along in this pilgrimage, sometimes in spite of ourselves. Now, I want you to hear this. What God has done in my life, and I make no huge claims here, but what God has done in my life sometimes and many times has been done in spite of me, in spite of what I thought I knew, in spite of my brokenness and my incompleteness and at times my pride. In spite of those things, the Holy Spirit of God was still nudging me forward into the future. Sometimes it's been like a zigzag. I could still be back in a West Virginia mine. Well, I'm not at 82. I would have been dead long before this. But somehow or another, I could have been trapped right back there. When you think about the crossroads of your life, where if you had taken this path or this path, it's made a huge difference, the choices that you made when you faced those crossroads in your life. And I take great comfort in the fact that it's the invisible providential hand of God that was there to guide me when I, in spite of me, and to lead me into my future. I deeply thank God for that. And the other thing is, ladies and gentlemen, we don't travel alone, do we? This is not a Lone Ranger experience. Thank God for a companion that's been with me all these years, but thank God for all those people and all those churches that I got to know, who I learned to love and felt they loved me and trusted me and wanted me there. They're just in incredible experiences. Now, I think of Bev Pappett, the wife of Lloyd, who just passed away, how they sat right over there, and Bev was one of those unusual characters in our church. And we still have a few around, including the pastor, unusual characters. But at any rate, Bev, once a year, we'd take an offering here. She would take an offering for a nursing home, Otterbein, a retirement community. And I remember one Sunday she got up and she said, I'm taking an offer here this morning, and you, some of you remember that. And she said, I want every man before you leave here, you're going to give me a dollar. I mean, she wasn't asking. Well, I remember those people. I remember them. And faces come back to me. And I just, all of those experiences, this is not a journey that we're on alone. There are people around us that will always be a part of us. Who can forget Jim Reckle getting up a few Sundays ago and reading a triple X scripture that he wasn't supposed to read? And when I think about it, as long as God allows me to be around on this earth, when I think about it, I am going to laugh in my soul. But thank God for Jim Reckle and my honor of knowing him and all of you. All of us have something that's different that makes up this beautiful pilgrimage we're having together. I think that these heroes of faith, they agreed on one thing, Paul says. They agreed that this earth was not their final home. They always saw beyond this earthly pilgrimage. And I like to call it that we've got short-term trust and long-term trust. Short-term is what we're going to do today or tomorrow or next week or the immediate future. That's short-term trust. We're walking by faith and trust. Short-term. But then this beautiful thing of a long-term trust. Where will I be 10 years from now? Where will I spend eternity? Long-term trust. Trust God by faith with all of that. And it releases power in our lives now to live in today's world, on today's pilgrims and today's journey. An old black African Methodist Episcopal minister was in the obituary in 2004 in Hamilton with the AME Church, the African Methodist Episcopal Church. And there was a long obituary. And his name was Dr. Melvin Douglas. He'd finally worked his way up and got a doctor's degree. But I never read an obituary quite like this one. And then this is how that obituary went. Late Sunday evening, July the 11th, 2004, God whispered in Dr. Melvin Douglas' ear, Melvin, it's time to rest, so just come on home. Now, isn't that a beautiful way to begin an obituary? But ladies and gentlemen, that's because we're pilgrims, not just in this life, but beyond this life, where we go to the Father's house. Just come on home. It's time to rest and time on to continue this pilgrimage in the presence of God. It's okay to know that you have one foot in the grave, just so that you know the other foot is in heaven, my friend. That gives us strength as a pilgrim on earth. My mother used to sing, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Finally, our home is in the Father's house." Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the power of your presence. We thank you for your Spirit that can touch us and liberate us and set us free, that all the things that we're looking for somehow can be found in your Son, Jesus Christ. We're looking for a sense of closeness and oneness, and it begins with you, Heavenly Father. And as we experience a liberating power of forgiveness and acceptance, we then are set free to make this pilgrimage on earth. In the name of your Son, we are grateful. Amen and amen.